God spoke it here. See, a covenant. The Spirit of God, the presence of God, the fire of God, it burns it in. And you know that voice. So here we have the demarcating flame. It marks a covenant. And then we have a distinguishing flame. It marks a communion. The fire of God, the presence of God. Notice it's a reassuring communion. There in Exodus 33, verse 16, the pillar of fire. They went in the daytime with a pillar of smoke, and at night it became a pillar of fire. This luminous thing in the middle of the camp brought them light in the darkness in the desert. And there was a reassuring communion. The fire speaks of God's presence, illuminating, guiding us in the dark. We don't know where to go, but God's there. And so here is this reassurance. If any Israelite wanted to know whether God was still with them, all they had to do was open the flap of their tent and look, God is still with us. Hallelujah. The presence of God is here. And my dear friends, that's a wonderful thing as we're going out on life's journey to know that God in His presence is with us. And when we sense that presence and know that presence, we have the assurance of divine guidance and of divine protection and divine accompaniment. The reassuring communion. And it's a protective communion, as I said, for I, the Lord, saith the Lord, will be unto in the midst of her, and I will be a wall of fire round about, and I will be the glory in the midst. That's a fantastic word. He'll protect me. Protect me. And as I am protected by the presence of God, so I am protected from all kinds of evil that come. I haven't got lingering and trailing emotions. I'm protected by the will of God. I'm protected by the presence of God. He is protecting me from temptation. He's protecting me from all kinds of evil, because evil's lying at the door, brethren. We're living in a sex-mad society, and evil is everywhere around us, and we must be protected. And God's presence is our protection. You remember Joseph said, how can I do this great thing and sin against God? Yeah, that was his protection, the presence of God. He couldn't do it. He was held by the presence of God. So here we have the protection, the distinguishing flame. It marked a communion. It's a reassuring communion. It's a protective communion. So it's a demarcating flame. It marked a covenant. It's a distinguishing flame. It marked a communion. It's a devouring flame. It marked a conquest. Yes, sir. Elijah was on Carmel in 1 Kings 18 with 850 prophets of Baal. Against all odds he stood. What a foolish thing to do. One man against the whole, it seemed, the nation. How can he stand against these many people? And eventually he said, he came to his turn. He laughed at them, didn't he? He said, go on, you're cutting yourself like that. He's on holiday, your God. Go on, cry a bit louder, shout a bit louder. Come on, come on. And he laughed at them. And then it came his turn. And he said, no, we're not going to have any false fire here. Not going to have any false fire. I'm scared of man-made fire. I'm scared of false fire. But let's soak this thing. So they soaked it. As a matter of fact, it's about 15 miles from the sea. I always thought that they got water from the sea, but there's a well just there that has never run dry, and it's open there from 3,500 years. And I stood at the well there where, in that wonderful open concave place where it's so beautifully acoustic. I stood in the middle of that whole thing, and there were missionaries standing at the end, and I read that passage, 1 Kings 18, and they heard, just as I'm speaking now without any amplification, they heard everything. That's where Elijah probably stood, right there. So they doused the altar again and again and again. Wet through. Now there's no chance of any wrong fire. Now, Lord, you work now. Amen. Against all odds. And the water will quench the fire. Baal will conquer. Of course, the water will, there will be no hope of fire. But God is greater than the water. And God sent his lightning strike upon that thing. And suddenly the people fell upon their faces. And they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. The land had been overrun by Baal. And Elisha said, I only remain. There we are. It's hopeless. The whole country was overrun by Baal. There were 850 prophets of Ashtaroth and Baal. What hope had he? But We have hope in God. And when the church is languishing and the prophets of doom are loud in their proclamations and condemnation, God's answer is fire. In the 18th century England, what a mighty century. The 18th century, when everything was absolutely corrupt and there was spiritual bankruptcy on every side in England, when there were every 50 yards or so there were gin houses and they're marked outside drunk for a penny, drunk and straw for tuppence, straw to lie down on. That's how England was going. They said, if the common people drink this poison for the next 20 years, there will be no more common people to drink it. That was the state of England. And the parliament was closed every now and again because the learned gentlemen were too inebriated to conduct the affairs of state. They were drunk, so they closed the parliament. That's the state of England. Mobs ruled. Suddenly God came upon a man. George Whitefield, John Wesley, Charles Wesley, in the Holy Club at Oxford. Suddenly something happened. Suddenly a mighty tidal wave came. In the darkness, you see, when the church was languishing and when there was no hope at all, there was no evangelical witness at all. But the fire of God devoured the cesspools of iniquity right throughout the country. God's answer to rampant unbelief was fire. As a matter of fact, at that time, Voltaire, the great French agnostic, said, I await the imminent announcement of the demise of the church in England. That's what it was. That's where they got to. Right at the very bottom. And suddenly, in the intense darkness, the fire of God fell. Fire in Whitfield's soul. Fire in Wesley's soul. Charles's soul. Off they went through the country, and the mobs, they were nearly killed again and again. There in Wednesbury, Wesley nearly lost his life. A man came behind him, and he was about to cudgel him and kill him with a massive big cudgel. And he put his hand out and he said, what nice hair he has. And he didn't hit him. And he was preserved. What nice hair he has. So there, they were preserved in these terrible mobs. And on they went, and suddenly England was changed. And the moral values were changed. And the whole English-speaking world was changed because of that mighty revival in the 18th century. Because wherever the British went, they conquered the world at that time when they were all over. Wherever they went, the gospel went. And the norms, the Christian norms that were discovered in the 18th century, followed the gospel. And they were presented everywhere. So that 18th century revival affected the whole wide world, the English-speaking world. But it happened there when God fell on three young men in the Oxford Club. And the Holy Club at Oxford. Well, God's answer, you see, is fire. So we're coming. I don't know what your situation is here, but let me tell you, in Scotland it's pretty bad. I was telling the folk down at the church the other day. And in 50 years ago, there were 2,400 ministers in the Church of Scotland, which is the national church. You don't have a national church here. We have a national church in Scotland. That's the national church, the big church. 2,400 ministers in the Church of Scotland 50 years ago. Today there are 1,200. And by the year 2010, they say there will be 700. 20 years ago, there were 260,000 children in the Church of Scotland Sunday School. Today there are 70,000 in 20 years. Boys, we need revival. We need the fire to come again. And one of the hopeful signs is the quickening of prayer interest all over the country. That's a wonderful thing. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. You know, I sometimes think of Wesley when he went to America. He was on a ship, and the ship was about to be sunk in a great storm. It was called the Simmons. And he thought the end was nigh, and so he was afraid, exceedingly afraid. And then in the middle of the storm, he heard some people singing. There were Spangenberg and his group of German missionaries. They were singing, Moravians. They were singing. And he listened to this in amazement. The next day, the sea was calm. And he said to the leaders of the Moravian group, were you not afraid last night? No. Were your women not afraid? Were your children not afraid?
No.
Why were they not afraid? Mr. Wesley, we have hope in God. If the ship goes down, we go up. And Wesley said, he wrote in his diary, in his journal, "This has been the most wonderful day of my life. I see the light. It is yet at a far distance, but I see it." And that's how I feel about Scotland. I see a light. It's far away. There's darkness pervading the land, but I see a light because of the prayer interest all over quickening in the country. Soon may God help us that the fire will fall once again upon that land. And for you too, friends, soon may God help you that America might be engulfed in a mighty tidal wave of glorious revival, moving of the Spirit of God, where thousands upon thousands are swept into the kingdom. And when those who are there are established as mature Christian men and women and are able to lead the others and help the others, which is going to be a very big thing. Because when you have a growing church, you have a carnal church. Did you know that? Because you're bringing in young people, young converts all the time. They haven't got spiritual understanding. There is going to be problems. There are going to be problems. And you're going to have to have spiritual people to sort out the problem. So now, where are we? The demarcating flame had marked the covenant. The distinguishing flame had marked the communion. The devouring flame had marked the conquest. The destroying flame, it marked the condemnation. Fire is an instrument of divine judgment. Notice that there in Sodom and Gomorrah, historically and physically, it was destroyed by fire. Nadab and Abihu, those priests, they were destroyed by fire. Numbers 11:1, at Taberah, the people complained about the food and they were destroyed by fire. After Korah, Dathan and Abiram had been swallowed up after their rebellion against Moses, the fire consumed another 250 people. In Elijah's time, the fire consumes the captain and his men, 50 men, and another 50 men. Do you remember that story? Here we have fire, the judgment of God, historically and physically, fire. And then we have spiritually, Jesus, he is there in Isaiah we read, the spirit of judgment and burning. Isaiah 4:4. Do you remember that Jesus, his eyes were as a flame of fire? Revelation 1:4. Here there is the spiritual judgment and the prophetic judgment. 2 Thessalonians 1:8. The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming with fire. And then eschatologically, yes, like that is eschatologically. And then cosmologically, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Judgment is coming, and it's coming by fire. The destroying flame, it marks a condemnation. The disciplinary flame, it marks a cleansing. There in Eden, they were put out of Eden because of their sin, and the angel guarding the tree of life did so with a flaming sword. The fire was there guarding the tree of life. Remember there in Zechariah 13 we read of the fire refining. I will refine them as silver is refined and will try them as gold is tried. Malachi 3, 2 and 3 we read, he is like a refiner's fire. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. So it's he is there in operation, Malachi 3, 2 and 3. It's a patient operation. He shall sit and refine the people. It's a patient operation. It's a painstaking operation. It's a purifying operation. It's a personal operation. He shall sit and refine the people of Levi, the Levites, the sons of Levi. Those are the priests and those are the ones who are involved in temple worship. He shall sit and purge them as gold and silver. It's a refining thing. Fire burns up all the dross. It's scraped off at the top. And the man who is refining looks at that container until he can see his reflection there in the silver as he scrapes off the dross. And Jesus is scraping off the dross as the fire burns. It's a purifying thing. Things come out, he takes them away until he can see his likeness in us. Purifying. And it's a purging thing. So it's a refining fire. Fire is a refining thing. And it's a purging thing. Fire is cleansing as well. Remember here, we read about in Acts chapter 2, where the fire fell upon the heads, the tongues of fire upon the disciples. Tongues of fire didn't fall upon Jesus, you know, when the Holy Spirit there at Jordan, with the Holy Spirit. What came to Jesus? The dove. Because he didn't need cleansing. But the disciples needed the cleansing. The tongue of fire, representative of dynamic cleansing. Here is fire cleansing. Remember there in Acts chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, we have a wonderful description of Pentecost there. And we read there in Acts 15, 8 and 9, that, and God which knoweth the hearts, says Peter, as he reports back to Jerusalem, and reports from Cornelius in chapter 10. He's comparing that which happened in Cornelius when the Holy Ghost came upon them and that which happened at Pentecost when the Holy Ghost came upon those people. So in the 8th verse of Acts 15 we read, and God which knoweth the hearts bear them witness, Cornelius chapter 10, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, chapter 2, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now that is the kernel of what happened at Pentecost. That is the description of what happened there. What happened? God gave them the Holy Ghost, and on another occasion says they were filled with the Spirit, and he put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. So here is a purifying and an operation by faith where the Holy Spirit comes upon them. That's what happened at Pentecost. That's what he says happened. So here we have something marvelous. The Holy Ghost came upon them. And because it's the Holy Spirit, the fire is a sign of the dynamic cleansing and filling and empowering of those people. That's what happened at Pentecost. Fire preparing. Preparing those to go forth, you see. So it marks a cleansing. But then, finally, the dynamic flame, it marks a commission. So not only the disciplinary flame marking a cleansing, but the dynamic flame marking a commission. Moses is there at the burning bush, and he hears the word, go, lead my people, take them out of Egypt. That's what came from the fire, marking a commission. Isaiah in the burning coal. Whom shall I send? Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Here am I, Lord, send me. That's what came from the burning fire. Disciples at Pentecost and the tongue of flame on their heads. They didn't have to be organized. You know, you go down that street and you witness at those doors on the left-hand side. You go and witness on those doors on the right-hand side. Now you knock on those doors, and if they don't want to invite you in, then you just stand there and talk a little bit and try and get something of the gospel in. See, so you go to the next one, and perhaps there's an old man there. You know, you just go. They didn't have anything like that. Boys, they were aflame, and they went from door to door, from house to house. They went everywhere, spreading the word. They were empowered. They were empowered, and they were inflamed, as it were, by the Spirit which came on that occasion. The dynamic flame marking a commission. Brethren, we need this to happen to us. The fire must fall upon us, and then we can go forth in His name, in His power, going forth witnessing and accomplishing His great purpose. So fire. It's a demarcating flame marking a covenant, a distinguishing flame marking a communion, a devouring flame marking a conquest, a destroying flame marking a condemnation of sin, a disciplinary flame marking a cleansing, a dynamic flame marking a commission. be a wonderful thing if the flame of God fell upon us here. And we were conscious that God has come in mighty cleansing power. And by the Spirit empowering us to go forth, giving us a new commission in our hearts. Making us ready to serve, ready to tell, ready to spread the message abroad to all who would hear. May God do that for us as we wait before Him. May the fire fall, brethren, upon every one and upon us all, individually and corporately. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the dynamic of the Holy Spirit. We thank Thee for the fire of God, which represents the presence of God. We thank Thee for the dynamic cleansing and commissioning. Lord, the presence of the Lord. Oh, we cry to Thee. And we pray that Thou wouldst continue to be with us and meet with us, accomplishing Thy purpose for our staying here and hearing Thy word and responding to it. Come to us each one, that we might know and understand and respond to Thy Spirit and Thy word. In Jesus' name, amen.